First, just a reminder that next Sunday in St. Angela Hall from 2 to 3:30, we will be having our farewell reception for Father Michel. So please do come and express your gratitude for him, for his just over a year of service to St. Mary's, and certainly offer your prayers for him as he moves on, and we'll continue to pray for him throughout his priesthood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Israelites do to Moses and Aaron something that you may have experienced in your own life. They grumbled against them. Now, you know this. Maybe you are an employer, a boss, and you've had to deliver bad news to some employee or employees, and they've grumbled against you. Or maybe you're just a parent. If you are a parent, you have experienced grumbling against you just by being a parent. They say priests receive this, but I say unless you're the pastor of St. Mary's, of course. The point is, we all know at least a little what they were feeling. Moses and Aaron, that feeling of being grumbled against. Now to help us understand, we just need to briefly look back at what had happened. Remember that all of the Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. And then God offers them freedom from slavery. He offers them liberation. This is what they've been praying for. This is what they've been hoping for all these years. Though in those 400 years, they didn't know God so well because they were in a foreign land and they were surrounded by foreign gods, but they tried to keep what they had. And so, even though it's going to be difficult, God was going to lead them through this liberation through the desert. And so they had to trust. In order to get to this promised land, they would have to spend time in the desert. And that time in the desert was time to purify them and for them to get to know this God, for them to get to know how to worship him. And there he would reveal to them the Ten Commandments. He would reveal to them the liturgy that they would do in the meeting tent, later in the big temple in Jerusalem. They would get to know him and get to learn how to love him. For 40 years, they would go through this desert. And you and I, every year, imitate that in Lent, where we go into our Lenten desert, as Jesus imitated that as well in his own 40 days in the desert. We imitate this 40 years in order to get to know God, to learn how to worship him rightly, to learn how to love him. But to go through this desert, they had to trust. And when it first happened, they were thrilled. They were excited. And they left Egypt with trumpets and tambourines until they got to the Red Sea. And then guess what? They grumbled toward Moses. Why did you go this way? You probably have heard this. You might have a backseat driver or the passenger seat. Why did you take this road? You knew this wasn't going to end up in the right place. Now we can't go anywhere. But of course, then God intervenes, just like he had always, and the Red Sea is parted. They go through, and on the other side, they are more than thrilled. They have seen an incredible miracle. And then they go through again, and this is where we pick up the story. They got hungry. Their stomachs grumbled, and so then did their mouths. They even began, it says, to wish that they were back in Egypt. They said, at least then our stomachs were full. They were slaves. They had been enslaved for hundreds of years, and suddenly they're looking back thinking those were the glory days. When they were enslaved, and of course it wasn't glory days, they probably rarely had as much food in their stomach than they thought, but yet they began to look back. And we have all had this experience where we start out on a road to a better life, a better way of living, maybe something as simple as a good new exercise routine or a good diet, something that's going to help us, make us more healthy, and then a little ways in, we begin to look back, right? And bacon and cheeseburgers, and chocolate. And suddenly, we even though we were enslaved to those flavors before, we think that was a little piece of heaven, wasn't it? A little bacon, Maybe it's more serious. We maybe have an addiction to something, with alcohol or drugs or even sugar. And we begin to look back after we've gone into this desert and believe that, you know, just one more wouldn't hurt, and we're back in the slavery that we began. Whatever, either way, we begin to think like the Israelites. We might have been happy or happier when we were enslaved to those feelings, enslaved to those things. And it's always good for us to remember the way out for any of these addictions, any of these slaveries, is through the desert. We're going to have to go through a desert experience in order to experience liberation on the other side. People who have conquered addictions know this. They know you have to go through that desert. There's no way around it. But what's waiting on the other side is so beautiful. And friends, this life is our desert. This is not heaven, and nothing on earth can make it heaven. We are in this going through in order, just like the Israelites, to learn how to love God, to learn how to worship him, and learn how to trust him. And he will not lead us astray. And so we go back into this scene in the Israelites. There they are grumbling. What does God do? He intervenes yet again, and he gave them quail and manna. Manna actually is a Hebrew question. It literally means, what is it? They looked at it and they said, what's this? Manna, huh? So that became it. Manna actually is a natural substance from the tamarisk plant that was given to them in a supernatural abundance. God works that way a lot. And why? It was meant then to sustain them, to help sustain them through their desert experience, to give them sustenance for the journey of their life in the desert. And now we look to the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus piques their interest about a food that never perishes. And so they ask for a sign. They said, well, you know, we got the manna in the desert. That was a sign from God back then. What can you do, Jesus? They want this bread, he talks about, that they'll never hunger again. And so Jesus offers them something greater than a sign. He offers them himself. He said, don't look for some other kind of bread. I am the bread of life. This is not something just for a time. This is something for now and for always. I am the bread of life. He gives us himself. He feeds us with his own body and blood, the good shepherd feeding his own sheep with himself. Why? To sustain us in our desert experience that we have, we call life, on our way to the liberation, which is eternal life in heaven. Always remember, no matter how many years you and I live on this earth, it's a blip on the radar compared to eternity. The eternity God offers us of absolute happiness and joy that will never end. Now, we've all grumbled in this desert, maybe even grumbled against God. We've all looked back, perhaps, to a life that we had before where we had sin, and we sometimes thought that we were happier back then when we were enslaved to sin, when we were ignorant of Jesus Christ, the church that he's founded, and the grace that he offers us. But into this desert, God sends to you and me always the true bread, Jesus Christ, to sustain us on this journey. What is the Mass? The Mass is the vehicle in which we will receive this bread to sustain us. Jesus says, do not work for food that perishes. He's got something so much more planned for us, his own body and blood. Do not waste your time on the flesh pots of slavery in your Egypt, whatever it was back then. Eat the bread of life while on this painful journey of life. Eat the bread of life that will sustain you on this road to liberation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.